Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, everyone, and for all our viewers out there on Facebook Live, welcome. I'm joined here with our guest today, Mr. Mark Coffey. We'll get to Mark here in a moment, very exciting show today. Can't wait, we have a lot of great content and information for everyone out there. So it's another fabulous Monday here, Bruce.
Well, good. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. It's another warm Monday here in Texas. The fall weather hasn't quite hit.
You're still in the hundreds out there or what?
Not in the 90s, though, for sure.
90s? Okay. Yeah, we've had quite a heat wave. I think people are calling it the Indian summer out here because it's a little later than usual. And we've had quite high temperatures of late. So it felt like Texas, I know, out here of late. But, nonetheless, we can't complain. Sunny weather is
good. We haven't seen a bit of rain in 6 months.
So it's always fun. Before we get into our topic and our guest for today, Bruce, I know you've been running and gunning out there in Dallas. Anything in particular that was kind of new and exciting from last week that you want to share with our listeners?
No, we had a good show last week, but just hunkering down this week. Got some travel down to College Station, and then I'll be actually in Beverly Hills the next week. So I'll be visiting some folks out there, some friends and clients and whatnot, early October. So I'm looking forward to my visit back out there in the in a mothership area. So that'll be fun. So looking forward to coming back and seeing friends and folks out there. And it's been a while since I've been out there in person. So it'd be great to reconnect.
Be good to have you back out here. Be good to have you back out here, Bruce. I'll just share a quick story before we introduce Mark here. Actually, from yesterday, and it was kind of my coaching story of the week. And, with the advents of Uber and Lyft, right, and I use those quite often, actually, when I can, because, A, it's actually quite economical depending on where you're going, and, B, I like to meet people, and it's actually a great way to meet people, especially, a lot of people that are driving Uber or Lyft, believe it or not, that's not what they do full-time. That's not what they do full-time. And it always provides great conversational opportunities and coaching opportunities. And similarly, when you go out to eat, and sometimes when I get a great waiter or waitress, I'm like, I want to know a little bit more about their story. So we're at the Pancake House, the original Pancake House in Laguna Hills, Aliso, yesterday with my better half. And the kid, he's a young kid, he's 22, who was our waiter yesterday. I just could tell this kid had something special about him, or at least I thought, right? You watch people, and it wasn't a waiter that's just there to get a paycheck. Like he... And it's not that he loved doing it, but he had a lot of the communicative skills, interpersonal skills that I'm like, that's unique. A lot of that has to be developed, but at a young age, that's something special. So I talked to him and, long story short, be working with him in a coaching capacity here in the coming weeks. And it's little things like that, that gets me excited about coaching and consulting. And sometimes when you come across people, they might be rock stars. I'm sure you've come across those in your career too, Mark.
It's an interesting dialogue. Everybody should work in a restaurant, everybody should tend bar, everybody should pump gas.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore.
Yeah my summer job like that was I did work in a restaurant, and I didn't pump, I've pumped gas for others, but not as a formal career. But I did caddy. I was caddy for golf course.
Same kind of thing.
For several summers. So it's the same sort of thing. It's customer service oriented.
Yeah, at a very young age, you'll greet people at a restaurant, even as modest as that restaurant, which I know, to something more complicated. If you have a wait staff, you're bussing tables, cleaning tables, serving food, you're going to run into somebody there at some time, some way, and you don't get a second chance to make a first impression.
No, you don't. So exciting times, but it was a great week overall. And I'm especially excited to be here with this amazing gentleman to the side of me. So again, for those of you viewers out there, thanks for tuning in. We're excited to share this with you, and we're going to actually be capturing some raw footage to share as follow-up over other platforms as well. Mark Coffey is the founder of Orange County Commercial Real Estate. It's a boutique brokerage firm focused on representing tenants and buyers of commercial real estate. Mark has over 30 years of experience in commercial real estate, including recently leading the OC office of a prominent Southern California tenant rep brokerage firm for over 10 years. He held a senior leadership position in corporate real estate at a large property and casualty insurance company, Boston-based One Beacon Insurance, and at Digital Equipment Corp., now part of Hewlett-Packard, right? He is a leading advisor to companies and entrepreneurs in high technology, professional and consulting services, medical device manufacturing, residential mortgage, insurance, and industrial service firms. In addition, Mark has advised clients on real estate development, land use, entitlements, and zoning matters. Mark saves clients money with expert site selection, lease purchase negotiations, and consulting with construction, project management, and property operations. He has completed over 300 leases. Wow, that's amazing. And with an aggregated value of over $250 million and property purchase of sales transactions exceeding 10 million square feet and $400 million. Deals completed throughout the U.S. and Canada and other, including Mexico, Brazil, Ireland, England, Germany, the Netherlands, and Hong Kong, goes on and on, on and on and on. But he's a graduate of Franklin and Marshall College, resides with his wife in Aliso Viejo, and they have two grown children. He's an active member of Irvine Chamber of Commerce, as is your counterpart, I have to say, Rob Rowan. We have to give him a little kudos here. Hong Kong Association of Orange County and Commercial Real Estate Professionals of Orange County, which is known as CREPOC.
CREPOC.
His website is occrealestate.com, which he has an interesting story about. I'm sure he'll share with you here today. Without further ado, it's my privilege and pleasure to introduce Mr. Mark Coffey to our show today. Mark, welcome.
Thank you, Justin. I appreciate your invitation, and I'm excited to share some of my background and some information on what's going on in the real estate market, as well as some historical things I've accomplished and things that I think I add value to.
Excellent. Well, welcome. So just, I know I gave basically your bio rundown, but is there anything else, you know, just in kind of high level you'd like to share about yourself, just for the viewers and the listeners out
there? We moved from suburban Boston in 2006 and came to the West Coast, the way a lot of people do, because of search of opportunities. I made a strategic decision to get out of the corporate rat race and working in large corporations, whether in high technology or the insurance business, and doing real estate, and decided to go to do what I really like to do, which is deals.
Ah.
And when I left Boston, we had 2 weeks of temperatures that were never above 10 degrees, and the snow has reached the bottom of my front windows in my home, and we decided to go west.
Go west. Gold rush, go west.
Or as Horace Greeley said, go west.
Go west.
Nice. I partnered with a Southern California, LA-based tenant rep firm who I know known my partner for a long time. We decided to open the office in Orange County in early 2006. And I ran that office for about 10 years. And with his focus on LA, I decided to restate my commitment to Orange County. And I formed the company in February of this year under the banner of Orange County Commercial Real Estate. In evaluating the name of the company, many of my competitors and others use an acronym, think Verizon to cell phones, no connection. I purposely, although I do practice, I'll talk a little bit more about my practice outside of Southern California, a significant amount of my transactions and my customers are in Orange County. So thus, I went to the state website to try to find a name, and I just by dumb luck typed in Orange County Commercial Real Estate, and it was available. So I secured the name of the company, Orange County Commercial Real Estate.
So let's timeline this. It was available last year.
Yes.
What month of last year?
It was just February.
February. So about a year and a half ago.
And there's several, obviously, Orange County Commercial Real Estate, and there's other limited liability companies that do that for holding real estate. But actually, as a regular company, that was available. So I secured that name from a legal standpoint. Then I proceeded to do what every other person does, is try to find a website that matches the name.
Mm.
That wasn't going to be too simple or too complicated in describing it. So I did what any other entrepreneur does, went to GoDaddy and found OCC.
Went to GoDaddy.
And at least I did, went to and found OCCrealestate.com, and that was available. And I've got a number of compliments on that. And how'd you find that name? I said it was sort of dumb luck.
Yeah. 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 And if you think about it, it's one of the first questions I asked him this morning while we were getting ready here in our, actually, I like this beautiful little office setup. You know, these shared office spaces are really up and coming. I said, how did you get this domain, though? Right? Like, anyone that knows the domain game knows that domains, you know, especially like the three letter ones, like there's none of those available anymore. But outside of that, anything.com, even the .coms are becoming pretty much extinct. And especially something that's like your line of business with the, location of where you're operating that business, that is like unheard of.
And it was interesting because GoDaddy has a practice of, or as a line of business, selling domain names. And about a week after I secured that for all of $7.50 or 10 bucks, they offered to market it on my behalf for almost $20,000.
Could have turned around, made it almost a pure $20,000 profit on as you call it, sheer dumb luck. But
on sheer dumb luck.
But I love that, and I'm sure that'll prove to be a great SEO, tool for you, a foundational tool for you for many years to come. So, could you briefly just talk about some of your Orange County, so the founding of, we talked a little bit about, but just talk a little bit more about the mechanics of the founding of Orange County Real Estate.
Our business is fragmented in commercial real estate, and there are very large companies. There are very small companies, and usually somebody someplace in the middle. And so I purposely, in establishing my next line of business, did not want to go to a large, multifaceted, publicly traded big company for a lot of reasons. It's span of control. I come out of that. So I really wanted to have my own boutique environment where I can pick and choose who I work with. I can pick and choose my client base a little easier. I have other talent on my team that don't show up on my website, which are either virtual workers who help me in some of my back end stuff, from my CPA. So some tech advisors to some strategic advisories that I call on. So my decision was to stay small, very focused on tenant rep work, which is a good segue to, what a lot of folks who get in the real estate business, and I interview and talk to a lot of young people from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to people who are decision makers, C-level executives. And I'm amazed at today that people today, especially C-level people, they don't understand what a tenant rep or a buyer's rep do. Many do, but I'm amazed at the percentages. So the first thing I'd like to discuss is kind of what is a tenant rep or what is a buyer's rep or what is the advisory work that I do and what makes us a little bit different. What I like to describe what I do is by what I don't do.
Mm.
First and foremost, I don't work for the Irvine Company. Okay.
Good.
I don't work for MetLife. I don't work for large institutional real estate property owners. What I do is I work on behalf of businesses, entrepreneurs, or companies that need seek a facility, whether it's leased or owned. I'm their advocate.
Mm.
California has a real estate law now under dual agencies, referring to the residential real estate, which a lot of people start when you think about real estate. Residential brokers, the vast majority of residential brokers, they get a listing for sale or a lease of a house or a residence.
Right.
So they think in the real estate, okay, you're, and oh, by the way, a buyer, a residential real estate agent oftentimes will represent the buyer of a property as well as the seller of a property.
Correct.
Or in, maybe in reverse order.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with that? There's a conflict of interest. Okay. And most recently, about a year ago, there was a law that was passed in the real estate and the civil code in California, which makes disclosure and awareness of customers or the consumer about that. So what does that mean? You wouldn't go to court with a single lawyer representing you as a plaintiff and as a defense,
right?
You wouldn't go to the IRS under a tax dispute with an attorney for the IRS. The light bulbs sometimes go on. So what does that mean? You have your own advocate or advisor, and that's my role.
Mm.
So when we go to there are many professional corporations that call on us that have a problem, they have a need, and we help them with that. That's the goal. We're not working for the, and I'm not to say anything bad about the Irvine Company. The Irvine Company has their own staff that leases and
does that.
I combat the Irvine Company on transactions. Friendly combatter, but it's no different than a law firm where you got a lawyer on one side and me on the other. That's the same thing.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. So it's a little even different than what I understood, mm-hmm. you know, as your role. So really strategic commercial executive advisor, if you
exactly.
will. Right?
And some of the most entertaining and enjoyable transactions that I do, and I'll describe one, is representing the owner of a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that owner may have a small business, but he's making payroll. So I'm looking eye to eye with the senior executive, maybe the founder, and maybe the sole owner. And that individual is making a decision about his business, either locally or around the countryside. I networked through the Irvine Chamber of Commerce 3 months ago and introduced myself to a young guy. And he looked about 16 years old. Okay, but I treat, you know, and I'm a little older than 16, but I said, tell me about your business. And he's excited. Well, he said, I want to buy a building. Okay. A lot of people be skeptical about that because he looked very youthful appearance. And I said, okay, I didn't even get into qualifying about how you got to pay for it. What do you want to be? I said, great. Old school. I'd love to have a chance to buy a cup of coffee or meet you at your office.
Sure.
Roll the tape. A week later, I met with him. Needless to say, I found out that Sang runs a $150 million business that exports farm-raised fish from Vietnam to the United States. $150 million business.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So really interesting that he said, okay, I want to buy a small office space or building. Roll the tape a couple minutes later. How do you want to pay for this thing? I'll pay cash.
Yeah, he's like, I'll pay cash.
He'll pay cash. So needless to say, about 3 months later, we bought him a building. Okay. Wow. And my value add to him was not just finding a place that he could afford, that was strategic in his needs. I helped him find a general contractor to build out his space. I sourced the architect to design it. Even found furniture vendor through the year on chamber.
Oh, probably. Really
yes.
Then.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, number one, never judge the book by its cover. And I've got many stories of that. But rolling back to the kind of clients we deal with, that's a terrific example of a growing company that we help. Recently, we had the largest contract arborist in the state of California, the West Coast. We met him also through a networking event at one of the chambers, and Pat. Has a 40-year-old company that mm-hmm. cuts trees for a living. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, well, you cut trees for a living. He runs a $200 million a year business that's 40 years old. And we've sourced two properties we bought on his behalf, and we got two more in the pipeline.
Nice.
Privately held company, pays cash. He writes the checks. I can call him at any time. So that's fantastic. That's a fantastic.
Those are great deals. Those are deals you probably dream of.
Well, again, they're fantastic clientele. And then we have the corporate, you know, the corporate kind of clients where I've come out of, where I'll meet with a regional manager, a branch mm-hmm. manager, somebody. It could be on an airplane, it could be on an Uber, or something I'll connect with. And they always ask, what do you do? How do you do it? And that leads to a 15-minute to a half-an-hour conversation about talking about how I work and what we do. And those decisions may not rest in Orange County. However, that's okay. They go back to Newark and talk to an insurance executive about how we work. And we did that too.
Just amazing how it can unfold like that. And I'm going to go off a script a little bit here, but I think you'll appreciate this. So what's probably the most interesting client you've ever worked with?
We had a facility need in Ireland, and we work with the Irish Development Authority that typically brokers business moves.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a property in Ireland that we wanted to occupy 2/3 of the property, not 1/3. So very large transaction. American Power Conversion out of Rhode Island.
Okay.
You may know that, a technology company. And so how do you go to Ireland and do all that stuff? Well, we had Irish connections with the Irish Development Authority, which is a very big economic driver for the country of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
What was really cool about that is that they wanted to own the property, not lease the property. Okay, so what we ended up doing is create an industrial condominium, which we do all the time in the United States. And that was the first done in the country of Ireland.
Wow.
That was really cool. That's 20 years ago. That was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're doing some, you know, pretty groundbreaking transactions oftentimes. Probably, I'm imagining it, like every year there's something you do that's kind of like a pioneer for the industry. You just seem like one of those guys, Mark.
Well, in fact, going back about 20 years ago, I was advising a technology company at the time. We tried to buy a property on top of in Palo Alto, which mm-hmm. was effectively on top of the internet, and it was a very difficult situation. But it was an old small property that just happened to be ground zero near Stanford, you know, in Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically had it from my client. I had a blank check to buy the thing. Couldn't do it. The guy didn't want to sell it because he was one of these gold mines, and we were going to, the buyer was going to invest a sack of money. So he just wanted to own the thing. Turned out it was a good thing, because a few years later, the company went bust. My client went bust, and the property was effectively taken by Stanford and went into, it was part of the hospital there, but it was pretty interesting.
So we're going to switch gears a little bit, you know, you know, as you see it, right, and there's a lot of players in this space, right, and in real estate in general, especially in California. California, you know, probably one of the most competitive real estate markets in the world, certainly in the U.S.
Yes.
What really differentiates you? And you mentioned some of these points, but, you know, if you could distill it down to, you know, 3 to 5 key things and maybe even a story that really shines a light on it, differentiates, you know, OC real estate from other competitors in this market.
Thank you. Information to, as a baseline, information in our world is much more available than it was 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, we're in the Google era.
So we're now in the Google era. There's data resources that are available as long as you pay for them. So there's a lot of information. So my value in, or our value in, is that, number one, it's experience. The experience and the years of what I do that translate to real life savings.
Mm.
So that, yes, the information of, you know, whether it's the applications that appear like an MLS or a Redfin or a LoopNet, which is widely available to the consumers, we pay for other information at a very high level. But having 30 years of experience that can go in and discuss at a high level with a seller or an owner like the Irvine company, that's about as complicated as they get. There's a lot of value added there. Number two, my experience is both in Southern California and geography around the United States gives me certain benefits when we look at things in California, because California, we do things very differently. And one of those things is in the energy code. Mm. Okay. Not to talk, but Title 24 is a very, very complicated energy code that affects all our life and will affect our lives in a good way over the next many years. So what does that mean in real estate? Cost companies money.
Mm.
And if you don't understand that going in on a construction project or a lease or a purchase, buyer will get a big surprise. So we advise companies of that way in advance. Next, I have a little bit of advantage from a corporation. I can talk to a CFO of a publicly traded company. I can talk to a CFO of a privately held company in the same vein and understand what moves their needle. Okay. It's not just a occupancy cost discussion, because everybody wants to know what the monthly payment is or what it's going to cost you. But a CFO of a new start company, I've oftentimes will talk about them investing in real estate. And if you're in an early stage technology company, I'll talk you out of buying a piece of real estate.
Yeah.
Because it's not the right thing. And a lot of my competition will, you know, they've got either, you know, B round, maybe even C round funding. And they'll think, oh, you can invest in real estate. Why pay the Irvine company when you can pay yourself? I have a lot of stories that will say, why you shouldn't do that, because it's on the balance sheet.
Yeah.
You got to hold the real estate for a while to make any money on it.
Which means you have to succeed you have to stay alive for a while.
or in the case, and there's a lot of examples in Orange County, but in 3 years, your needs change and you need twice as much space. You bought a small building or a building and you've outgrown it. Now you got to do it again. Where at least you can throw it away and just run and move. So yeah, we had an interesting, I have a really interesting client that we just finished a transaction for here in Orange County called Biogenics. And they're really cutting edge biotech company that manufactures a product that is infused in your back with coral. Oh. And it's a groundbreaking stuff that allows you to heal faster, avoid a lot of cutting that the surgeons do. But to make a long story short, they're about an 11-year-old company that's starting to really kick it in. And the CFO and the founder of the company had the cash to buy a property. And they were long-term residents of California, so they know the waves of we did the analysis, the typical lease buy and other financial analysis, but it wasn't that complicated and that hard to convince them that leasing was a good strategy.
Nice.
And we got them a lease strategy with a right to buy the building. So that was another value add.
A lease to buy. Yeah. See, that to me is also a great option. I think it's underutilized as a lease to buy. Right?
And he has cash to grow his business. Yeah. He basically has cash to grow his business without going into debt.
And your balance sheet is healthy, or at least healthy.
It is a little cleaner.
Nice. Nice. Well, could you maybe discuss what maybe your most interesting complex or valuable transactions have been today? Maybe share a couple of examples that really come to mind.
Well, I'll give you one overseas and I'll give you one in China. The first one was in China.
Ooh.
It was in Hong Kong, not the Hong Kong part of China. We had an assignment to sell a property in Shenzhen, which is the new mm-hmm. territories.
Mm-hmm.
And 280,000 square feet. There, we decided to take it to market on basically a bid tender process, or a process where it's an unpriced and people bid on it. This is way before 10X and some of the online sources. Online marketplaces. And in conjunction with a Hong Kong-based broker, we went to market and talked to many, many, many high net worth real estate ventures and as well as private individuals. And for the first round, we failed. It was really frustrating because we had tremendous expectations of value and we didn't hit the value.
Well, define fail.
Well, we were trying to get $60 million out of the property.
Okay.
And there you're only buying the right to build, because the land you don't own in Hong Kong is subject to a lease. So you're basically selling the right to develop. So we went out again and we captured several local Hong Kong-based property owners, like the airline company. And in qualifying one, it was kind of interesting. We said, can you give us your qualifications of buying a building somewhere between $30 and $60 million? We ended up selling just for under $40 million. But the venture we had, it was an Irvine Company quality kind of firm that was able to write a big check. We got a check for almost $4 million on basically over a cup of coffee, and we closed in 10 days.
Wow.
Thereafter, it was all cash transaction. And we asked the questions, gee, what kind of environmental closure you have to do? Because it's part of the details of selling a manufacturing property in the United States of a very detailed being responsible. And in Hong Kong at the time, there was nothing.
Oh, no.
There was nothing.
Well, and they have different rules over there in China. So I'm imagining that, and perhaps this is why you're part of the Hong Kong group here in Orange County. And otherwise, I mean, you probably have been doing business over in China for quite some time.
Well,
or at least have other people familiar.
Over the last 5 to 10 years in Orange County, there's a large wave of new Americans from China and Hong Kong. We have a client of ours who is a USC educated graduate, a business school graduate, CPA, who has a dozen offices in Southern California. He's Hong Kong based, but he lives here now with his family. We bought him a property in Newport Beach, and we were looking for something in South County as well. But the new Americans, whether it be in conjunction with the tremendous success of China in general, it's really interesting. It's really fantastic. We had a Hong Kong business. Actually, a woman was from Hunan province via school in Hong Kong. And came here. Her English wasn't very good. Her assistant was. And she was getting thrown out of a building here in Irvine. And I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, I want to move and I want to buy a place. I said, it's October 15th and you have to be out and buy a building by the end of December. I said, it's pretty hard to do this. So this is a pretty cool.
You're setting the stage.
And so in a friendly way, we qualified her. Banks that she could pay for, up to $5 million cash for a building. So but she probably wouldn't lend borrow money like most Americans now. But to make a long story short, we found her a building. We got into escrow. She was allowed to occupy by Christmas. She moved the day after Christmas. We got her into a transaction that allowed her to run her business January 1st because her building was being demolished here in the airport. And she moved in 45 days, less than 45 days when we talked to her. And she closed on the building. We got her a transaction that allowed her to be in the building for free while she went through escrow. And she elected to go through an SBA route. She qualified at cheap money. As a little more than $2 million, she bought a building up by on Walnuts in Irvine.
No kidding.
So that was pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool story and probably made her Christmas that much more enjoyable.
Well, had continuity of her business was really the most important thing because she was panicking when she was going to have to move her 10 people either to her home, a WeWork, or an executive space. But she really had a burning desire just to buy something. So that was pretty cool.
So let me ask you the dichotomy of, why she was maybe a good profile for purchase of a building versus some of the other examples which you've shared, which are more of a
her business entailed the exporting to the United States of fertilizer, of chemicals for fertilizer. So relatively stable, relatively boring, low tech,
not a high velocity
of change
chart. Yeah,
of change. So she's doing it as a chemical. She had plants and her extended family and business had plants, still do, in China. So her business here is now about 5 years old, and the staff hasn't changed. So she was a good,
steady Eddie.
She was, and second, and the Chinese culture like to own things. They have a culture. The Chinese have a culture of ownership, and she had the cash. That's a wonderful thing. So with me not speaking a word of Mandarin, she had an executive assistant who was UCI graduate, her English was flawless and also spoke Mandarin. I was able to communicate with what we do and how we did it. We jumped at it pretty quickly.
Nice. Sounds like a nice heartwarming story, and I'm sure she was appreciative. And maybe you could talk, too, about, again, I'm going to go off script a little bit, but the importance of referrals in your referral ecosystem in this line of business.
Thank you. Referrals in our business are really, really important. You build your professional practice, you build your self in the community through successful work, in my opinion, whether it's related to your personal interest or whether it's your community involvement or in professional business. Our practice is much like an accountant or a doctor or a CPA, but attorneys that says, gee, do you know somebody who can do this kind of work? It's really, really important for us. And building your brand, building your accomplishment, that somebody can say, yeah, I know somebody or a firm that treated me well, talk to them. We do that many, many ways. We participate or are members of a number of chambers, like you do with the Irvine Chamber. And they're terrific. It allows us to get exposed to a lot of different people. It may not be. I think less about actually working for those in our meeting groups or other networking events, as opposed to working through you. It may be a CPA that I'd love to do your lease for you, or I'd love to help you with your with your property acquisition. However, a CPA may say, gee, I got five clients that are in a lease or in a building. They want to sell it. They want to buy it. You can help them.
So you think more in terms of, I call it, and you, I think you would appreciate it, channel strategy or strategic partner alliance strategy, as opposed to direct client strategy.
Correct. I mean, the chamber, as an example, is a terrific forum to be introduced to a lot of different clients. They also have very large events where you're broadly exposed to a lot of different companies in the area. That's a fantastic way to do it also. But it's also nice to say, gee, to Pat Mahoney, who runs West Coast Arborist, he runs in a very tight circle with high-level people in commerce in the area, because he's been around for a long time, and he's been very generous with saying, I did a really nice job for him on a couple different transactions. It doesn't guarantee me the business. All it guarantees me is a face-to-face with a client, and that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, to me, that's all you can ask for, right? Like most sales, it's funny because I was reading something this morning and it's talking about, so Elon Musk was talking about how most jobs will be eliminated by 2023 through the advances of artificial intelligence, right?
Yep.
And you may have read some similar articles recently, but there's just certain things that will never be replaced by robots or by technology, and the human face-to-face interaction and having a face and a person that you trust that you want to transact business with. Now, the back-end operations and everything outside of that now might be machine learning led or artificial intelligence led, but having that person that you can sit across the table from and say, I trust this person, I've done business with them before.
And I'll give you an example. In the information space today that allows consumers to know everything about residential real estate market. Think Redfin.
Yeah.
Think the MLS, which you now broadly can capture. And I'm going to pick on residential agents for a second. For years and years.
Please
and years,
do. Please do.
For years and years and years, when you went buy or sell your home, you went to a real estate office, and the real estate agent and the broker involved would provide you certain information to buy or sell your home. It was all very protective. You'd get things in writing. You'd say, okay, here are the recent sales competition. If you want to buy it, they literally tore pages out of a book almost to share with you information on property sales. Today, Redfin, or the MLS, and to some degree, LoopNet, but not the same degree, provides consumers fascinating and full information on real estate. A lot of brokers get threatened by that. Okay, what does that mean? I know how much you paid for that property. I know how much you have for debt. Okay. I know all kinds of information about the change of ownership over many years.
Mm-hmm.
That's only one piece of the puzzle. Okay, so yes, you can know, but it doesn't provide you all the tools and talent to buy that house, or in my case, to lease or buy that property. So you see information that may be readily available. So why do you hire me? Yes, I'm going to find information of property.
Absolutely.
no information in a market that is very unknown to you as a consumer. Yes, I'm going to save you time and money by doing the legwork and doing the research, which is a really good thing. But the information is terrific for me because I like, you know, an educated consumer.
Levels the playing field a lot too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So the educated consumer, to use an old Cy Sims phrase, the educated consumer is my best customer.
Mm.
Is my best customer because it boils down to what do you do with the information? Okay. So I'm advising you whether it is a good value or a bad value. That's okay. Number two, I'm going to evaluate whether you should buy it or lease it, right? You may not know how to do that. But number three, I'm going to negotiate like crazy all the terms and conditions of a transaction, all of which aren't readily known. And I got 30 years of doing that.
Wow.
So when you ask what's the differentiator, yes, a tenant rep or a buyer's agent works solely and exclusively for you without conflict of interest. That's a buzzword, no conflicts. But I can do that and get you a better deal on your behalf, both on the nuts and bolts of the lease, the terms of the lease. I think the lease that I did for the biotech company that allowed them to have the option to buy that in the future, right? That's a term. That's not, and there's value to that. We negotiated signage for a major business bank about 12 years ago in Southern California. Everybody knows, I won't get into who it is, but a relatively small lease transaction. We got 10-foot signage on top of the building. That's the president of the bank, so that's worth $1 million a year.
Wow.
Okay. So how do you, that's something that we negotiate as opposed to, and the bank is not the Bank of America or Wells Fargo. So those are concrete examples of saving time, of obviously creating a lot of value for the customer.
Bruce, you were saying something there?
Yeah, I was, you know, about the leveling the playing field. And like you said, your best customer is your most educated customer. I also like the fact that you're a boutique operator like myself. I, at the beginning of the show, hearing you how you kind of pared things down where you have workers that are outsourced and people behind the scenes and other things like that. And I operate in a similar vein. But I did have a question for you real quick. I think the answer is going to be no, but I really liked about how you handle many facets of some of these real estate transactions, commercial real estate transactions. I was going to ask you if you ever even took it a step further and did like project management and, you know, in terms of, you know, helping buy the piece of land, constructing the retail edifice, and then actually project managing that construction, kind of going all the way from the realty deal all the way to the construction phase and completion, or you've never kind of done, have you ever done anything like that where you did the construction?
Sure. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
I call it construction administration. I don't, and under a blanket or a larger term of project management. I represented on a national basis, a insurance company out of the UK that landed in the United States about 11 years ago. And they, as a company, came here with a CFO I happen to know, and I knew the president of the company. They said, okay, now we're going to do all these. How are you going to help me? I said, I'll do whatever you want because I'm a fantastic customer.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have project management, or I do have construction development background. What it did mean, I wasn't going to be on the job every week, but I hired people that did that.
Mm.
In the case of, we finished a space in Manhattan in Wall Street that was 65,000 square feet from Orange County. So the question is, how does a guy in Orange County manage a project in Manhattan? Well, I flew a lot. Okay, I was there once a month. And I hired an architect. They hired a general contractor. We hired a move manager, you know, this outsource of actually physically getting. We had a national contract for installing furniture, and the guy in Atlanta just called me up every Friday. How's it going? And he'd come up about once a month, and we we saw it. So it's a time consuming task for a boutique shop. And I do it for and all of those pieces, like the company that I just bought a small office space for that imports fish into the United States. They got a dozen people in their operation. The owner has no experience whatsoever. So I found him the architect. I competitively bid a couple of architects. I competitively bid three general contractors. I allowed him to make the decision. It was an obvious decision. I played procurement professional, subject to the internal control that he made the decision. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I do all those, and that piece, I didn't charge him a dime. I just was happy for the transaction.
Well, and if part of your extended core competency and obviously value add for your clients, I think it's a win-win. Obviously, not cost prohibitive, right?
No. And I, again, when I know enough about design, construction, engineering, and construction. In his case, we had a Title 24 discussion because it was a reasonably, you know, the property he was buying was second generation, it was about a dozen years old. They said, oh, by the way, you're gonna have to, you don't like this. This kind of open architecture was real high trendy. He wanted to do more traditional. I said, you're going to be subject to Title 24. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, click, 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 click. The architect said this, yes, agreed with me. And oh, by the way, he was fine with it, just, but he didn't want a surprise. Mm. So the advisory of that was he was going to face that basically anywhere he was. I'm just finishing a project. We're signing a lease this week in Irving, Texas, we just talked about earlier. And it's an Orange County-based company that is in the automobile trained specialist in the automobile business, a training, kind of a training facility there. But I found a guy to do the architectural design mm-hmm. work there, found a general contractor there, and I'll go as needed because he's very hands-on. From a business ownership, he's very, very hands-on, and it's not that complicated. The actual construction method, the construction isn't that complicated. But he didn't know how to do it from Texas, you know, in Texas from Orange County. That was kind of cool. But going back to the boutique size of the company, what I hope I do well and proceed to be is accessible and reachable. I'm not of the type that you can't reach or can't get to. You know, as I said, it's one of those, we don't have a bureaucracy, you know, of, you know, management level and things like that. If like you can't reach me, you reach a partner, you reach somebody else in the company. But oftentimes the more complicated real estate companies have trouble with it.
Yeah, actually, you know, a quick story on that just to further edify Mark and team. It was, you know, been in contact with one of his associates, Rob, you know, about this podcast today. You know, and Rob's, I would say, one of your right hands, you know, and called Rob up on Friday, and Rob's like, call Mark. He's like, don't talk to me. He's like, call Mark. Mark answers like, not even, I don't even think the phone had rang. It's like, he just answered right away, and we had a great conversation to tee up today's podcast, make sure we were ready for everything. And I know a simple example, but a poignant one, that when he says that, you really do mean it.
Well, I'd say, you know, again, we talked about, you know, some of your experiences the most recently in the restaurant and, you know, some wait staff. Everybody, at least in my generation, started either throwing papers, cutting grass, working in a restaurant. In my case, I did that. Or you work as a, you know, work pumping gas or something. So I lead by example. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression.
No.
Number one. And I take that really seriously. And the customer, you never know who's a customer. So I make it, when I'm on an airplane, that drives my wife crazy. We travel quite a bit. I'll get a business card of the guy sitting left or right of me, just as a friendly, not in my face kind of deal. But explaining what we do and how we do it, usually it's a little bit of a head scratcher because people say, well, how do you get paid? Which is that we didn't really talk about. How do I get paid? Well, I get paid a real estate transaction that's split with the listing broker. It's mm-hmm. a contractual obligation that the selling agent or the leasing agent, whether it's the Irvine company or otherwise, they pay our fee. So some clients say, well, if you do an expensive, buy me an expensive property, or I buy an expensive property, you're going to make more money. The answer is yes. Full disclosure what the fee is.
Yeah.
But if you buy a building worth $5 million, I'm going to make more money than if we bought a $1 million building. It's simple mathematics. But you as the consumer or my kind are always in control. You make the final decision. Yay, go,
not
no
the
go.
Other way around.
They go, no go. And
all right.
That's an end, the end game. It's an exciting time in commercial real estate in Orange County. The sky's not falling. You know, we still have less than 5% unemployment in Orange County. Rates of interest and borrowing are still very low. I'm very, very bullish on the economy here, despite the turmoil in the world today. But we have a terrific economy in Orange County.
Well, how about that today for a learning lesson in commercial real estate, Bruce? What do you think?
Awesome. Awesome, man. Awesome. Just loving every word of it, and getting a lot of vicarious pleasure out here in Texas. So good here. Things are well, and thanks for coming on the show, Mark. It was great having you with us.
Yeah. If we could, just before we turn things over to you, Bruce, you know, how can our listeners and our viewers out there get a hold of you or find you if they
awesome.
Want to reach out?
Thank you. We maintain our website, www.occrealestate.com is our website. There's a link to connect with me. Very reachable, you know, through that way.
And I think all your contacts out there, address of the building, the contact information.
We office so. Right near the airport in Irvine. And we basically will reach out and respond very promptly to any inquiry or any questions you have. And I do that a lot of times just so that I don't know what I'm doing, and happy to share with you there as well. But it's a terrific time in Orange County. I can't say enough. We're, you know, Justin and I are both involved with the chamber. What once was a sleepy branch town subject to the famous Orange Curtain between LA. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot going on. It's a good time to be in business here.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you so much for coming on today's show. It's been a privilege, a pleasure. And I can't wait to hear all the feedback, you know, we get from our listeners out there in response to today's show. We have a lot of folks involved
awesome.
In real estate
thanks
that,
for having
that tune in. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce, I'll kick it back to you to bring us home.
All righty then. Well, thanks for listening to another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. Be with us next week. We'll have another exciting guest for everybody. In the meantime, don't forget to go to Apple Podcast and see our shows and show notes there. Also, our shows are archived at the LA Talk Radio site. Justin and I have our own page there at LA Talk Radio, so stop by there. We're also on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook on the Concierge Coaches. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Nimmergood.com, the one and only.
All righty then. Well, until next week, everybody have a blessed week out there. Until next time, we'll see you here on LA Talk Radio, the Concierge Coaches Show.
Thanks, everyone.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.